Welcome to Paint Ed. Hey, I'm Chris Schenk, the education guy at the Painting Contractors Association, providing painting contractors with the training and connections they need to grow their business. To find out more, visit pdca.org. On this episode of Paint Ed, we chat with someone who took home the Craftsman of the Year Award and the Residential Restoration Exterior Award from the PDCA Industry Awards in Galveston, Texas. Quickly becoming the Michael Phelps of the painting industry, Nick Slavik of Nick Slavik Painting and Restoration in New Prague, Minnesota, is the host of the Ask a Painter live broadcast, which is shared on his Facebook page and PDCA's Facebook page. Nick talks to a lot of contractors every week, and I'm privileged to witness some of the profound expressions of appreciation he's received from people all over the world, and I'm just stunned by the effect this guy has on others. Business owners get a lot from him, but what is it exactly that he's doing? I think he has become a voice of encouragement in the industry because he is, quote unquote, immensely satisfied in his work. This requires humility, honesty with self, ambition, and a willingness to teach and learn from others. I personally feel encouraged when I talk to Nick, and I think people like the way he unabashedly tries new things and lets people learn from his real experience and honest analysis. Either way you look at it, his business seems to be responding to his immense satisfaction in his work. Might be something to learn from. Hey, Nick, welcome to Paint Ed.
Thanks, Chris. Always good to talk to you.
Yeah, we are always excited to hear from you. We have you in our education quite a bit. We have you on podcasts and webinars. We had you at our recent expo when we do regional events with you. I know you run the show Ask a Painter. How's all that going for you?
Well, it's awesome. And, you know, Ask a Painter is doing phenomenal. It's getting its legs underneath it. It's hitting its stride and it's meeting its core demo very well. And all the opportunities that you guys give me are just unbelievable. I'm truly humbled that, you know, somebody would come to me asking something and need something from me. So thank you.
Well, I think that's a sign of a good educator, somebody who is just open and learning and humble. And I think people are attracted to that authentic learner mindset because that's what we're bringing to the table. And so, you know, we hear it all the time, and we just did a podcast yesterday with Art Snarzik, and we were talking about.
Oh, he's the best.
He's pretty fun and he's smart and he stays abreast of like his information and his expertise is always refreshed with the latest information. I love how we're talking about the next generation and how authenticity is a big key motivator, I guess, with a lot of people who are trying to get past bureaucracy, institutionalism, trying to find out, like, now we can crowdsource and now we can get information ourselves and in a knowledge explosion. We truly have access to so much data that we don't have time for BS. And so I think that's why educators who are a little bit more authentic, who are humble, who are, hey, look, this is what I've gathered so far. Here's what I can share. And I have stuff to learn from you. I think that is what people are really trying to get at. And I think that's why you're seeing the success you are. I think it's because like you have an accessible mind. Your brain's open to people, man. Your brain's, brain's wide open.
All of that is probably true. If nothing else, at its basis level, this is a very selfish endeavor because like one of the first times we ever talked, I said, I have been thinking these thoughts for 25 years, and every time I want to talk with somebody about them, they're like, okay, yeah, whatever, painting, cool, you know, fine. And so if nothing else, I love talking about this so much. I love this industry. I love my trade. I'm immensely satisfied with it. And for selfish purposes, I want to talk to other people about it. And for nothing else, that's awesome.
Let's talk about that phrase you used, immensely satisfied. And that may be the title of this podcast. I always kind of have an idea of what we're going to talk about. sometimes it takes different turns, but I know that you are experiencing some rapid expansion in your business. I want to hit that. But this immensely satisfied, I think title might be being immensely satisfied in your business with Nick Slavik. Okay, but no, seriously, like that, this is not something you're doing just on air. It truly is something you're expressing in the most mundane times, like, you know, even when we get on the call to say, hey, how you doing, Nick? You ready for this podcast? And you're saying, yeah, absolutely. And I say, what's going on? You're like, oh, everything's just going great. I mean, really big things are happening for you. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. You're very close and knowledgeable about the terms bliss and happiness and this whole sort of, you know, everybody's got this existential angst about what is happiness and why are we all here? And a bunch of years ago, somebody, maybe even you, might have mentioned that, it's not always about what we would consider happiness or bliss. We really should be chasing satisfaction. And if we couple together enough satisfying experiences, that might lead to bliss or happiness. So, and I've rethought my whole sort of, you know, undertaking over the last 25 years of this. And I kept thinking, well, gee, should I be just in constant bliss every second, or should I be immensely satisfied with what I do? And honestly, it's a drug. I mean, for me, for my personality, for how I was brought up, what I do every day is, it just couldn't be any more satisfying. Mm.
Well, what's happening in your business that's so satisfying?
Well, because of my super regressive business upbringing, I had almost no examples of success in business or personal interactions otherwise growing up. So I had this very low bar, and I sort of just coasted for a lot of years, and business grew. You know, it was growing 10 to 20% every year without any effort. And it was just easy. I was just coasting. And finally, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, we might as well call it 3 years ago, I found out about you and the PDCA. And I sort of got a glimpse behind the curtain of what real business looks like and what real entrepreneurs and real craftspeople look like. And since then, I had this, you know, it wasn't a crisis of faith, but it was more like a, you know, a resetting of everything that I always thought I was good at and bad at and everything. And I've been on basically a 2 to 3 year quest to legitimize what I've been doing, you know? And so over the past, this all started about 18 or 20 months ago. I had 3 awesome craftsmen working for me, and we were insanely profitable. Our margins were ultra high. We're doing world-class work, great reputation. I put almost no effort into the business, and we were doing awesome. And then one Friday night, all 3 of them left me. Oddly enough, and I don't know if this is believable or not, for different reasons. And it was just a coincidence. And it was a complete coincidence. A couple of them have come back to me, but basically I was staring down the barrel of basically having a business with no employees and starting back over. And at about that time, I mean, I was already sort of involved with you guys. I had those indicators for success already. So I basically said, okay, I've done all the homework now. I should have done this years ago, but I've put in the hard work. I've done my work with Coding Science, with business, with entrepreneurship, and I've just not been doing enough. You know, I was a semi truck driving down the highway, you know, 30% full, and I had all this extra capacity, and I didn't realize I could use it until I met other painting contractors.
Well, let me touch on that real quick, and then I want you to continue if you don't mind. I knew you at that time, and it seemed like you're operating at maximum capacity. It seemed like, I don't know where you would have found a minute in your day. I know you were doing estimates late into the night, right? I mean, you talked about the hours that you worked and how early you got up. And I thought, you crazy, man. You crazy.
Well, Chris, here's the deal. Yes. And that was crazy. And again, it's not how busy you are, because busyness is sort of a crutch, you know, for not getting something done and being effective. And what I've realized is that the people that I look up to most, I have my, you know, my big 12 that I look up to in the industry. And, you know, they can be huge commercial contractors. They can be 3-man painting outfits. They can be craftspeople, business people, whatever. But when I look at them, the bragging about your business changes from how many hours you work to how effective you are, because it doesn't matter how you do something. It matters what you actually do. So all of a sudden, all these things that I held at high degree, I'm such a hard worker. I martyr myself for my work. All of a sudden was like, okay, that's fine. That'll grow a business to a certain point. But after a certain point, you just need to be effective and you need to be good at your job. You just don't have to plow ahead and work harder. So that's at the point where I was at, where it's like, yes, I was doing that, but I had systems that were in place. Everything was verbal, you know. It's like the Plains Indians. There was never anything written down. It was all handed down verbally from one generation to the next. And all this was there. I just hadn't made it into a real business yet. And I was selling for a 10-man company, and I was doing marketing for a 10-man company, and I had systems in place and payroll and everything there for a 10-man company, and I was running 3. You know, and there was, and somebody said, like, listen, all you got to do is plug 7 more in, and it's not going to change your life at all. And I did. Over that next year, I hired 2 people at a time until I got to 10. And then, with some seasonal attrition, you know, you lose a few more people, and I brought more people on. So now we're at about 12, and I'm going to 15, this summer. So it was basically somebody just to pull you aside and say, all right, stupid, you're doing a lot of work for a very small machine. You know, you have this huge power generator, you're making all this extra capacity, and you're only running a tiny little hair dryer off of it. Like, if you wanted to, you could run many more hair dryers off of that. And so scaling for me, it was delayed. I should have done it years ago. But since I basically had the whole factory up and running and only one machine out of 15 running, it was so easy to just plug those other, you know, machines into it and get going. So that's basically what's happened. I went from, you know, 18 months ago, 20 months ago, from zero employees. We got 12 now. It'll be 15, hopefully, this summer if I can find enough decent human beings. And then we'll just see how far we can go from there.
Okay. So you've shared part of your story before. And I mean, we just have to keep highlighting this because this is resonating with a lot of people. A lot of people find themselves in the same exact place. And you're hearing a lot from people. Now, every once in a while, you'll send me a text or you'll let us know here at National, like, guys, here's the kind of response that we're hearing out here in the field. When you're doing an Ask a Painter or you're doing some PDCA education, you are getting a huge response with people who are feeling those same feelings and may not be immensely satisfied in their work or in their business or the way their business is going, and they don't know what to do next. And a lot of them have been on that island, or they don't know how to get off the island. So tell me a little bit about what you're hearing. Are people's stories sounding like what your story has sounded like till now?
Absolutely. And you know what? If for nothing else, this whole Ask a Painter thing, yes, there's a ton of coding science, but there's a ton of entrepreneurship and there's a ton of philosophy in there too, if you watch it. And what people need is not a specific website to go see or a specific, estimating software or a guy or a consultant to help you. All that stuff is really awesome for certain stages of business. But what people need is just a glimpse behind the curtain to see that somebody just like me is going through the same thing or has gone through the same thing. And I don't think people on their own doing their own business, I think they get too myopic and they only see this one little tunnel vision of their life. And the problems that they think are holding them back are usually not a problem at all. And there are things that they should be worrying about that they don't even have on their radar yet. And you don't know those things until you get the glimpse behind the curtain and see other painting companies and see how their owners talk about it. So for nothing else, I'm getting a huge response from people and it's growing. You know, I feel the difference. You know, when I started Ask a Painter, it was a lot of homeowners, and then contractors found it. And now we're building this huge critical mass of paint business entrepreneurs who are super interested in the craft, the coding science, but they're also saying, hey, listen, I love painting. I want to be the best, but I also love business and I want to scale it. I want to do things. I want to create jobs. I want to be a leader. I want to provide things for my community. And I can feel the response. Like, you know, it used to be once a month, then it was once a week I would get a message. And now I probably get two or three a day from people saying, hey, man, I just found this stuff. So cool. I thought I was the only one, or here's a problem I'm working on. How have you done it? And I can feel that growing. And that's immensely satisfying.
Yeah, absolutely. There it is again, people. Immensely satisfying. I like it. That is definitely going to be the title of this podcast. No, but I love it. You know, there is some value in understanding that the copy paste method of applying business principles, something that's worked for somebody else, is not necessarily going to work for me. Okay. So we kind of have to, and there's, you know, I remember this idea from Emerson that I had read, that the whole idea.
Oh, here it comes. Here it comes. This is what I'm here for.
For those of you who wait for this on every show here, this is the one. But it's the only right, he said, the only right is what is after my constitution. And the only wrong is what is against it. In other words, it's got to match with you. There is no generalized, generic truth out there that can be completely squared with my life. It's got to be my truth. It's got to be something that comes out of me. It flows out of me, right? So those are the kind of things. It's got to be a fit. It's got to be a fit with my experience and my environment and my skill set and my current problems. And every year that changes, every minute that changes. However, for people who have been there, and there comes a time when you need more information or you need help. Aristotle way back in the day had compared state constitutions from all around the world. He had really gathered these constitutions and said, what is it that societies are trying to get at when they organize together and they create laws and policies and all this stuff? And what he found was that, basically it's the old idea of two heads are better than one. When a family starts joining with other families to build a community, they're much more successful. When communities join other communities and forms a state, it becomes more complicated for sure. But that's where he said when they form that bonding of communities is where you really get to that point where you can achieve true contentment and satisfaction. There's that word satisfaction. Mm-hmm. But it's almost at that level where it's like it's individuals to families, families to communities, communities bonding together to this ultimate state. And he said he didn't see that there was much of that contentment that could be truly or good security or foundation for that kind of contentment until you reach that level. And so we have to appreciate what human society is bringing to us, but we sometimes as business owners and the entrepreneurial mindset, the individualist mindset, we forget that really easy. So there's a lot of value in being able to rely on yourself and trust yourself and know that your truth has got to flow out of you. But man, bonding together and truly understanding the information that is out there, the help that is out there, the community that you have available to you. It could be life-changing. It could be business-changing.
Well, listen, man, and you heard those.
Dude, I just dropped a lot. I just dropped a lot on you, man. Sit with that.
I gotta take a drink. I gotta sit down. My knees got weak.
Breathe,
to that.
Breathe.
That was awesome. Okay, so those last things you said, though, life-changing,
yeah,
and business-changing. For the ignorant way of going about life is that myopic thinking of, I used to think everybody I saw at that paint counter at Sherwin-Williams was my mortal enemy. And if he wasn't looking, I would have put a screwdriver in his tire. Because, you know, you think, well, listen, we're both in the same area. We both do the same things.
Oh,
and every gallon of paint that he buys takes a cookie out of my kid's mouth. You
right.
know? But my biggest allies have now become who you would technically think would be my competition, other painters. And even on a more pointed method, Jason Paris. My God, this guy is 29 miles from my house.
Wow.
Here in the city. He's running one of the awesomest paint businesses in the world.
Mm.
And we have become the biggest allies.
Mm.
And we get so much from each other. At least I get a lot from him. I can't speak for him. He probably doesn't get as much from me as I get from him. But, I mean, that old kind of ignorant, myopic thinking of, you know, everybody's your enemy and everybody's taken from each other. If you band together, and I see some great things in our sort of, you know, I think Jason Paris calls it cooperation. We're cooperative, but we're also technically our competition.
Right.
But net and what he always
did
says,
he
net,
come up
net,
with, did he come up with that word cooperation?
Of course he does. He's an economist. He comes up with all sorts of indicating words and things. He's a genius.
Okay, let me say this, Jason. When you hear this, I want you to comment under the podcast and the Facebook. Like, where did you hear that? If did you come up with cooperation? All right, there it is. So hopefully we'll see it in the comics.
That's his. That is his word completely, and I stole it.
I love it. Okay, but you were going to say, too, the net what?
Net, we're all better because of our relationship. And it's going to be great. And the best thing, and this is something that I hear a lot, is, you know, you would think that, oh, man, if you have this awesome estimating software, you got this great piece of marketing that works for you, you would think, oh, keep that a secret. You know, you don't want anybody else to hear that. But the best thing that could ever happen in the Twin City metro area in Minnesota is that if every single painting contractor knew as much about coding science as about me, knew as much about logistics as Jason Paris, had a perfect estimating system down, paid their taxes, hired employees, the entire wage level for all of us would raise, the standard of living for every one of our families would raise, and more dignity would be brought to our entire industry. So
Wow. It's...
Not the goal of us as painting contractors shouldn't be to, oh man, I'm going to take 92% of this market. I'm going to hold the whole thing. I'm going to control it.
Mm.
That's not possible. It's not reasonable and it will never happen. So you might as well raise the bar for everybody.
And you won't be immensely satisfied going out about it that way.
Oh, absolutely not, man.
Hey, will you, and I know I wanted to do like a Nick show because we've got some Nicks in our association right now. Nick LaGrasso, Nick Mays up in there and you, but somehow we need to put like a Nick show somewhere and talk about that idea of competition and how do you manage the cooperation? Matter of fact, that sounds like it might be a Jason Paris and Nick show too, because, if he came up with that, we're definitely going to title a podcast Cooperation.
We can call Nick for a day for that one. but you know what, honestly, because of my horrible, I've called my upbringing North Korean-esque, where it was just the worst possible business surroundings, the worst possible interpersonal relationships. So what I do, I know just enough about my personality now where when I see a truly competent group of humans like Nick LaGrasso, like Nick May, John Scherer, Jason Paris and his think tank, I have labeled his amigos up there the think tank because they're the smartest humans I think I've ever met in one place. They're all millennials, by the way, too. I know just enough about my personality where I leave it up to them. I say, hey guys, listen, I feel that there are some things we can benefit from each other, but because I grew up in North Korea, I have a skewed outlook on this and I always feel like I'm going to cross a line that I can't cross back over. So I'm going to leave this relationship up to you. Here's what I would like to do in the future. I very much respect your acumen in this. You could probably get this from me, but you tell me how you want to proceed. And I've left relationships up to that just because of the way I've been brought up.
Well, you know, it sounds very Elon Musk-ish. Okay. This guy is, have you heard recently that he's sharing his patents on his stuff? I mean, and this guy is saying, they're asking him, why is he doing that? And I don't know if money's a factor anymore for this dude at all. I have no idea. I mean, maybe it is. But no, as he shares his patents, he's explaining, like, look, we're all in a boat, and the boat is sinking. And we've just, you know, we invented this awesome bucket, and we're sharing the blueprints. And people are saying, why are you sharing blueprints for this awesome bucket? And he says, because we're all sinking.
Yeah.
So,
because Elon Musk can't save the world by himself. He's going to need some other geniuses with him. So.
It's like, but the way he says that, because we're all sinking, it's like, yeah. Just a few words sometimes, and you're like, I get it.
I love it.
You know? And sometimes when you're talking, and I see the change that's come over you, and I know it's not easy. I know that you still have your challenges. And you still, there are times you are the perfect encapsulation of the rugged individualist in my mind. And that's why I love talking about this, because there's nobody out there, I don't think, that I'm going to be able to talk to that, you know, that's going to better represent that mindset, who are going to say, well, you know, this Nick guy, you know, he's not an individualist like I am. Like, I do this and I think this way. I'm going to say, no, you don't know Nick Slavic then. This dude is the rugged individualist, and he's involved in community and society and all this stuff. But this guy can also go live off, you know, the land. I mean, he could go in the wilderness. You wouldn't hear from him for years, and he'd be all right. But I love that you're talking about the value that you get from everything and how you grew your business and what's happening. So it's exciting. I'm immensely satisfied just talking to you, Nick.
Listen, man, you know, before I even joined the PDCA, you had talked to me about painters and the PDCA. And I think you probably got the baseline. Like, you understood how excited I was about life, mm-hmm. how interested I was in my trade. And now it's doubled. Yeah. I mean, it's just, I'm sleep is all, I don't want to be one of those guys like, oh, I never sleep because I need my sleep. But sleep is like a burden all of a sudden where it's like, I'm so excited to get up. It's like, okay, now we must take a interval in between work and family and this stuff. And it's just, I wish I could just, I'm so excited about putting things into place and being accountable to them and fostering these young people I have and creating leaders. God, it's just, I just want to do more of it in a day, and you just have physical limits.
Well, I want to add this caveat. I know we're having a lot of fun with this idea and stuff. I know you need your time and you like going spear fishing and you like taking your time and doing your own thing. I am the same way. I'm an introvert in that I recharge on my alone time. And I think there are pulses to everything in life where you get more involved in the community. And then sometimes you also learn to rely on yourself. You learn to develop your skill set. You learn kind of to find what is after your own constitution, right? And so I don't want to make it all that, hey, everybody has to do it, you know, do what Nick has done or it's not always a sale for PDCA. It's not always a sale for the painter community, but it just is, it's a thing. It's a thing you got to get involved with at some point along the way. If you really want to advance, you've got to get involved in that community, that state. Okay. So Nick, real quick, if you don't mind, if you had to say the top three things that you've learned from your experience in the last year or so during this whole immensely satisfying experience you're having, what would you say to other painting business owners?
All right.
Top three lessons.
And I'll try to be as brief as possible because you know I'm a windbag. number one, when you stop doing 10 hours of manual labor a day, you instantly gain a whole lot of weight. So that's number one. And, 8 months ago, I stopped painting. And so now another challenge for me is I have to change my lifestyle because I could eat like a stoned pelican anytime I wanted, anything I wanted, do whatever I wanted to my body, and everything was awesome until you stop doing 10 hours of manual labor a day. So now that's another thing I have to do. But no, honestly, though, it's you have to get around people who are way better than you. And when you do, it completely changes your outlook. And these people are so willing to share because they've been through, they've seen the light. They have so much to offer through experience. So I would say number one is you got to get around people who are way better than you. Trying to think what else. Oh, having a plan and being accountable to the plan is the secret of business. If you could boil down everything from Fortune 500 companies to even just single artists, everything changed in my business when I had a plan and not only myself, but all my people in my company were accountable to it. Things are being multiplied 10x just overnight by that simple thing. Even if it's one thing, I'm going to hire 5 employees by June. And all of a sudden, you got to make a plan to do it. And the whole company is getting updates from you every week on how many people you're hiring. And I'm sitting at these production meetings giving updates saying, okay, this is how many candidates I had. We have these people. And if I just come back with nothing, I mean, lead by example. How good of a leader you are if you don't do that. So, trying to think of a good third one. Peers is kind of, you know, getting around people who are better than you. I'm part of this, through my county. This is actually a free thing. There's an economic gardening group, where they try to take, second stage growth businesses. They believe that those businesses who have a proven product, a proven service, and just need to scale bigger, they believe where all the growth in the jobs over the next 10 to 20 years is going to come from them in the country and not these big blue chip Fortune 500 companies. So I heard about this program through my county. I applied for it. They let me in. And basically, it's about an 8 or 9 month program where I get together with a bunch of CEOs of manufacturing companies, tech companies, retail sales companies, and we all just sort of round table our businesses. And everybody comes with a problem. We discuss it, we solve it. So getting that outside influence too, whether it's through one of these, you know, entrepreneur groups, or whether it's from a peer group, or even like I did when I was really young in my business, I got together my financial advisor, my accountant, my banker, and a couple business people that I looked up to in my little town of New Prague. And I basically every year just used them like my ad hoc board of directors where I bounce ideas off of them. So, I mean, it all comes back to, I guess all three are almost the same. Just get outside influence, as much outside influence as you can. It's going to help you so much. But
love it.
I hope that's helpful.
Yeah, it is very helpful. And they're not the same. I mean, it's different. It's different expressions or modes of that maybe same basic thought. But I think people need to know how to break that down too. Let me say real quick, congratulations. I should have said this at the beginning, but man, there's just so much that you're involved in. Like, it's hard to just list off the whole thing of what you're doing. But congratulations on the winning the Craftsman of the Year at PDCA. That was quite a big deal. And then also
that was insane.
That's crazy, man. You do a lot of neat work, and I think that people ought to. Where would people go if you wanted them to see the kind of work you do? I know you do photos on your Facebook, right?
Yeah, if you go to Nick Slavik on Facebook and just, you know, give yourself 2 minutes, scroll down as far as you can, and there's everything. There's absolutely everything. That's a perfect encapsulation of everything that I like about life.
And you also won an award for residential restoration exterior, right?
Yes, yeah. And that was a huge one too. That was one of my favorite projects of the year, an old 1800s brick Victorian mansion in one of my favorite towns, New Ulm, a neighboring German community, and it's been wonderful. And actually, I just found out that I won an APC Top Job Award for that same project this year. Sweet. And I also just won a video contractor video of the year for my Day in the Life of a Painter, my black and white film that I made about that too.
Where'd you get that? Where was that award from?
American Painting Contractor magazine.
Oh yeah, wow, that's cool.
Okay. So I guess, and this was really cool. They actually had a contest and people voted, and so it was like a legitimate thing. It wasn't sort of we like this guy. So right. It was kind of nice. I rallied the troops and we got it, man.
Sweet. Well, congratulations on all that. If people want to see those videos, I know we have a place for the awards on the PDCA.org page, and then you could go to Nick Slavik's Facebook page. Also, you have an Instagram, right?
Instagram too, Slavic Nick.
Slavic Nick. Okay, well, it's always a pleasure talking to you. I'm excited. I know you're getting ready to do an Ask a Painter today and every week, so whenever we release this, it's probably going to be a good time to say Ask a Painter's coming up. It's always Friday at noon Central. I know that you broadcast on your page, and we actually broadcast or share, co-broadcast on the PDCA Facebook page as well. So we always put that out in our publications. And, hey, man, I really do think we need to bring a Jason Paris on and do Cooperation. Dude, I'm in. Like, I have that written down. We're doing that. So,
and you know, you might have to ask him about using that as the slug line for the PDCA.
That's right.
That is the best thing ever. Listen, you guys have been awesome champions of the information that I'm putting out. And thank you so much.
Great. Okay. Thanks for being on Paint Ed.
Anytime. Have a good week, Chris.
You too. Paint Ed podcasts are a product of the Painting Contractors Association. To find out more about upcoming education opportunities or for more information about joining PDCA and getting access to advanced resources for your business, visit pdca.org. We'll see you next time. Your brain's open to people, man.
I'm such a windbag.